At 5:05.
Okay. I'll just call the roll. So we've got Eric Reynolds here. Jay Wasserman not here. Richard Merg is not here. Ruben Ibarra is here. Tom Dodge is here. James Hayes is here. Mayor Rossini is not here. Wayne Zazel is not here. Lieutenant Rich is here. And Steve Franks, myself, is here. So we have a full quorum. We can have the meeting.
And there's no one in the public, so there'll be no public comment.
Perfect.
I'm going to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Anyone?
They're attached. Are you guys here? Move to accept.
Yeah.
There you go. I already read them.
All good.
I'll
there you go. See, homeless litigation update.
Yeah, I could talk on some of it, and I let Lieutenant Rich talk about what it means for implementation. The North County Spa Service Provider Area, or I think that's what it's called, isn't it? We signed a settlement agreement with the litigants, and it was filed in the court. All 13 cities, I guess Los Alamitos joined in. So we basically signed a settlement agreement that allows for enforcement of the anti-camping ordinances, and in there requires that we have a certain number of beds, because we have to, by law, with the Boise decision, have a certain number of homeless beds to allow them enforcement. Placentia, and the way we did this is Placentia and Buena Park are building homeless shelters, and we are all contributing as the 13 cities toward there. So we basically have access to beds because we're contributing, because it's just unreasonable for each 13 city to try and have a shelter. So there's a 100-bed facility plus in Placentia and a 100-bed facility plus going in Buena Park. Those sites have been identified, acquired, and they're actually in the RFP of building them and moving forward. So what does that mean? And Anaheim's in there too. They've got some beds too. What does that mean? I'll let Lieutenant sort of identify how it means in practical. If they come across a homeless person, what does it mean for him now?
What it basically does is allows us to enforce pretty much anywhere in the city now, where before we could enforce only on private property. Say if someone wanted to pitch a tent out here in front of City Hall prior to the settlement agreement being in place, we really couldn't enforce. We would voluntarily, or try to get them to voluntarily move into a different area or somewhere where they can also lawfully be. But now we offer them shelter, which we now have available, and they choose to take it, we will get them into a shelter. If they refuse to take it and it's available to them, then we can arrest them, either give them a citation or take them make a custodial arrest, and because it's likely to continue. So basically what we do is we make an arrest. It would be custodial because it would be likely to continue. So they would be going to jail if they refused to move on.
Nice.
But you do have to come in contact with a homeless liaison. Is that what you said? Or did you?
Yes, and basically what we're doing now, and it's in the settlement agreement, all of my homeless outreach team folks are homeless liaison officers, of which there are like 22 working for the Sheriff's Department now, have to have prior contact with this subject. So if there was someone we were having an issue with, I would just simply have the homeless outreach team guys come over here and make the contact. And they are part of the continuum of care that allows them to, you know, appropriately assess this person and make sure that the housing that we have available or offered to them is appropriate based on their situation. So the crafters of this settlement agreement were very, had some forethought and planned this out to where it actually works and benefits, the North County cities a lot. There are two agreements in place right now that the Sheriff's Department is beholden to, and that is the county also had a settlement agreement with their lawsuit, very similar to the North County's, our North City Spa settlement agreement. And Steve was instrumental in doing a lot of that and making sure that they kind of mirrored each other so that we can work hand in hand and we wouldn't have one agreement with the Sheriff's Department holding up the agreement or conflicting with one from the city.
And one of the issues was the settlement agreement. We had all the law enforcement agencies in North County got together and basically agreed to the protocols of how it would be handled so that it wouldn't be one city doing it one way and one doing another, and the litigants having the opportunity to assume that when somebody's being treated unequal treatment type of thing. So that's been resolved, and we have an MOU that's been in place. The this city council has approved it. The city of Villa Park's contribution is for the construction and the first year of operation is $8,000. Annually, we'll be paying about $5,000 that we pay. So $5,000 in legal expenses would have been blown
easy
in seconds.
Yeah.
So the council said, no, this is a good deal. Let's do it. And we have, it's a 10-year agreement basically that we'll have in place.
Nice.
So.
And does that amount, is that a result of some of the subsidies from the state and federal?
Yeah, we're using a number of monies to pay for the construction and whatnot. And they're actually using, even those cities, Placentia and Buena Park, are using the old redevelopment set-aside monies to help pay for the construction. So it's a patchwork quilt, including the county. The county has contributed money on theirs. And it, from Villa Park, it is straight general fund because we don't get any other subsidies.
Right.
So our $5,000 is straight of our general fund. But for those cities that are CDBG, they're using some, they got CDBG money in there. They've got all sorts of other money. It's a patchwork. But basically, all we cared about was getting the bed access. So we don't have like a guaranteed number of beds. We have access to beds. So his guys can call. And it may be two at one time. It may be none at a given time. But he can play around with it, and we've got the ability. The other thing you might want to mention is that Judge Carter is the overseeing on that. Now, he's been removed, but not from this group, this settlement. So the North County, he still has responsibility. And there's a process in there for any sort of
dispute resolution
that he handles, and he's agreed to handle that within 24 hours, right?
Yes. There's a lot of language in place that if someone disagrees with the shelter offered to them, they can enter the dispute resolution process. And the deputies, if they do make a arrest for a status violation or anti-camping, anti-loitering ordinance, they do have to advise the subject that they have access to the dispute resolution, provide them the phone numbers for the plaintiff's attorneys and that. But there's also language that the city's got in there that is very helpful, that once they enter the dispute resolution process, it has to be decided 24 hours, I think is what they said. Mm-hmm. if they can come to agreement, if it does need to go to litigation, I think the judge has up to 3 days. Mm-hmm. To do it.
Right.
But then once they enter that, we cannot, while they're in that process, that 3 days, we can't make a custodial arrest, but we can issue them citations. And then once they have made a claim, they can't just continually make a claim and enter the dispute resolution process time and time again to keep us from enforcing. Once they've made a claim, it's been decided by the judge or by arbitration, they can't make that claim again. And even if they did, it would not bar us from making a custodial arrest.
So the Placentia beds will come on in early spring of 2020. And the Buena Park beds will come on. They're trying to get them on before December. So this is a real push.
That's good.
This mental health treatment facility that they just broke ground on
in Orange,
in the media, on Anita and Chapman.
Anita Street.
Does that qualify as a homeless shelter? Are they going to have beds for
no.
homeless?
No. It is a mental health treatment facility. They will have some, and I forget the terms they use, where you can take someone who's having a mental health issue. So
5150,
right? They can get, yes, they can get 5150 treatment. They can get lower level of treatment. There's going to be a bunch of different services offered there, but it is not a homeless shelter.
So what had happened was the county had a very limited access for 5150s. They had to go to Santa Ana to the ETS, and there were about 12 beds there, some ridiculously small number. This gets them, so an officer, say, in Yorba Linda or Villa Park, doesn't have to go all the way to Santa Ana to drop off somebody and deal with it. They go over here to Orange, and it's a less time off shift, or whatever you call it, or away from the shift. So it's a much better deal. They're supposed to try and build several of these in the county, as I understand it.
All the hospitals are involved with this, the mental health, I wouldn't even say mental health hospitals, because Reagan did away with most of those. That's probably maybe why we're in a little bit of the situation that we're in, but a lot of the hospitals that the ERs are just getting inundated with mental health patients. And they're sitting in chairs in line in the hallways, and it's a continual thing. So they're trying to push for a resource where they can take, where they can put these patients before they go to the ERs. The fire departments, EMS, all these people, they're just being inundated with people needing, mental health issues and have a mental health crisis. So it's kind of a facility for treatment of that.
Now, and I know it's a nominal amount, but it's still $5,000. Mm-hmm. But can we apply for CDBG grants?
No, we're anybody under 40,000. We're not an entitlement city, right. So our population is less. You have to be over 40,000 to get a direct CDBG. So what they did was, we still could generate CDBG. It just goes straight to the county because we're non-entitlement. What the county did, we got it part of the deal. They redirected the money that would have come from us back to the program. So they gave it back to us. So we don't get it directly. We won't get it because we're too small a city. Half the North County cities are just under 40,000. So that's called a non-entitlement city. The money all goes to the county. County then turned around and said, okay, we'll pledge it back to you. It's all free money for them anyway. So they just turned it around and gave it back to us. So that was part of the negotiations.
And there's no cases in the pipeline to appeal the Boise case?
Yeah, there are. League of Cities and a number of others have appealed it, but you know, the reality is that could take to go to the Supreme Court, has to decide to hear it and blah, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So enforcement becomes an issue until then.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So now. Yeah. So now at least it's taken care of.
And there's also language in the settlement agreement if Boise is, you know, not upheld or it's not the, I forget, the rule of law, I think is the way they put it, then we would not be bound to follow it anymore. And that is in the settlement agreement. So they were smart enough to realize down the future this may, you know, be overturned.
We have an out clause in the settlement agreement for the MOU, so each city can get out. You basically pay a penalty, a slight penalty for the initial construction, but we'll walk out of it. You can walk out of it relatively inexpensive, like 1/10 of your cost type of thing if you had to.
But the overall dollars, it's insignificant if, you know, for us, we were to make a misstep or something like that and wound up getting sued. Yeah. That would
cheap insurance.
Yeah,
it is. It is. That's what the council viewed it as.
It's cheap.
Very good. Thank you.
You're up, LT.
But again, anybody who has a homeless problem, we need to report. They need to deal with it. As, you know, that's those guys got to handle it. So it's you know, it still involves careful documentation of everything you're doing.
And there is in the depth and. To keep going on with this, and I hate to do this to everyone. I know they got a lot of things to do. The deputies are being trained up. The field deputies kind of know where to go. I'm putting together kind of what we call a homeless enforcement matrix, so anyone can follow it and kind of see what he's got, where he needs to go, without you know getting himself into any trouble. They have the resources for the homeless outreach team and the HLOs. They know if they have an issue that they can't deal with, as they have in the future. We've had some people that were minor issues out here in the city, and you know, they basically reached out to the homeless outreach team, knowing that they have a little bit more expertise in the training, and brought them in. And you know, a couple times we were successful in dealing with the issue, and another one, the guy, you know, he knew the law and knew where he was, and we were kind of, you know, he'd roll over and go to sleep on Orange, and then when Orange came out, he'd come back on the Villa Park, and he was kind of playing that game for a little while.
He spent the days in the library where it was air conditioned, and free public library could get in. And
now, you know, because of this agreement, both Orange and Villa Park are
same.
Yeah, we'll both be able to enforce. So
that's
that
good.
Should not
They're
be an issue
up
anymore.
A little bit more. I've seen a few more. Well, they don't stay long.
We just need to know they're reported, and they'll take care of it.
Yep. Yeah, yes. That's good.
Definitely. And I'm starting to move on to the.
Well, real quick, the one thing I say, Irvine Park is opening. This is something that Irvine Park is private property. Enforcement on private property is a different ballgame. They can enforce. So homeless showing up at Irvine Lake will be taken care of.
They will. And also in the county settlement agreement, county parks are a restricted area.
Yep.
Oh, so any county parks outside of
Irvine Lake,
operating
Irvine
hours.
Lake when they start, if they start showing up next week.
So if they want to camp in a county park, they immediate enforcement. We don't even have to worry about you know, the Boise decision and making shelter available and that. So they just have to make sure that they're contacted by the appropriate people within the department. So should not be an issue. In Irvine Park, they're opening up the lake, right?
Right, the lake is opening 17. Friday.
Yeah,
or Saturday.
2 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
Well, 7 o'clock is the official groundbreaking. This is coming
the
17th.
Wow. Yeah. Very nice.
No boats, though.
Yeah, it's only open on the weekends, and it's all from fishing from the beach.
Shore fishing.
I don't know if there's enough water in there to float a boat.
I haven't been up there recently. Last time I was looking at the fires, it was the last time I was up there. But I would say with all this rain, it might be in pretty good shape.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Alrighty, and for the monthly report, July is not ready yet. We're still a little too early into August, but for June, which we did not get a chance to do, I will go over that if everyone would like to hear it. We did have a commercial burglary over here at the Rouse, and that was a subject who used to work for a Coinstar company, or actually one of the change machines, who had a key, took his uniform in there and went in there and after hours and reset the machines and everything for them. Unfortunately, they didn't realize that he was taking everything that he had in there.
Right.
So we had that. There were two vehicle burglaries in the month of June, one on the 24th, one on the 21st. The 19,000 block of Nathan Circle and the 19,000 block of Canyon Drive. Plumbing equipment taken from a locked vehicle in one of them, and golf clubs were taken from a locked vehicle in the second one. We did have a grand theft reported on the 9,000 block of Bymar Drive. Excuse me. I believe that's Bymar.
Bryn Mawr.
Alrighty. Gotta forgive me. That was on the 18th, and that was a leaf blower. Was taken off of a porch while the landscaper was working in the area. We had a petty theft reported, the 17,000 block of Santiago. That was someone stealing $200 from the Rouse, basically a little scam where someone went in, bought a pack of gum, got $200 worth of cash from the teller, walked out. He gave his friend right behind him the same receipt, went in, bought the same pack of gum. Teller went in there and he asked him for his, you know, when he went to leave, he said, "Hey, I didn't get my $200. I hit the cash back on my ATM and..." Teller didn't catch on and went, "Okay, here's your $200," and they figured it out a little later.
You should scam that.
Yeah. We did have one traffic accident on the 17th. That was at Villa Park in Lemon. Rear end collision. The subject in vehicle number one was taken to the hospital. Just a complaint of pain.
Sorry.
That's quite right.
The fatal, was that in June?
That was.
Which was actually in Orange.
June, that was in Orange.
It was an orange.
Yeah. Yes.
One of our streets, basically.
Oh, they were turning onto one of our
streets.
Streets,
right. Yes. No, I know already.
Still outside.
It's still outside, right? I get it.
Yes.
I called the big man to make sure. Yeah. He was kind
of. Do
we
know the history of that corner? I know it's really Orange, but it is concerning because all the residents are coming out of that.
Yeah, there have been three within the last, that would be the third within the last 20 to 30 years. Roberto and Collins. The individual was coming up on their motorcycle high speed. There's a fire truck hitting, so they hit a North City of Orange fire truck. Deceased motorcycle rider. Anyway, that's the third one. It has that subject have coming up has come up about closing that street for a number of times over the years, and apparently to do that it would require a unanimous sort of vote of the residents, and there are a number of residents who don't want that to be closed. So at this point, we don't have control over what they do with speed bumps or signs in Orange. They are not going to do anything on the intersection. They have no intent to do anything different. So the only thing Villa Park could do with residents' consent is close off the street.
So the motorcycle was eastbound, coming around the curve? Westbound, coming around the curve.
Coming around, it didn't see the fire truck in time.
Extremely large red fire truck.
Yeah, going extremely fast, probably.
He probably saw it and said,
"Oh, well."
I would imagine at least 80, 90 miles an hour, if not more.
They were flying.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I bought my home down there. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the first people to move into that tract. Roberto was not there. It mm-hmm. was a dead-end street on just west of Vida. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where they ever got the authority to open it up to begin with, because they sure didn't ask the residents.
It was a tract map approval received by the city council as part of a tract map approval process. So that was all sort of, once it's grooved into the master plan. So that was set in, and it was approved. And there was a movement some years ago to try and have a petition signed, and they couldn't get a number of, even one who lives right by the corner isn't interested in signing it.
Right.
At the time, City of Orange Fire weighed in and said they didn't want it to be shut down because of response times into that part of the area. The OCFA is kind of, you know, they don't want it really shut down, but it's going to affect response times, but it's not a, you know, it's not a...
Because it's open, we get a lot of heavy traffic coming up by it, especially when school's in, and they don't always catch the stop sign there at Montana and Vida, and that includes both Orange County, or Orange Unified School District. We watch their buses.
Three accidents.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
Well, three fatalities. There probably been more accidents, I don't, but the three fatalities probably since.
For 30 years, though.
23 years, yeah.
I would imagine high speed.
Yeah, well, so. Just like this. This is, you know, and candidly, somebody calling, you could have lost control anyway coming around at that speed on a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
There is a possibility that that motorcyclist was in the area within the prior 48 hours. At speeds in excess of 100 miles per hour, so closing that street, you know. I appreciate Tom's concerns and other residents. I personally have heard from other residents wanting it closed and arguing some of the same points, but bottom line, it was open and it was approved, and as Steve stated, I think
you're not going to get the votes anyway.
You can't do it. I appreciate the concerns about the buses and the school traffic and the traffic collisions and the fatals within the area, but there's just not, unfortunately, not enough. Everybody's not on the same page. And without everybody being on the same page, there's next to nothing we can do. The only thing we can do is really lean heavily, and again, maybe we're just blowing in the wind, on Orange for greater enforcement in that area. It's their responsibility, and they're probably going to say, yes, thank you very much for your comments, have a nice day. We have other problems. We have Orange Barrio Cypress gang members to deal with. We have other things to deal with besides your traffic concerns, even though they're actually their traffic
concerns. And City of Orange has other complications on this one in particular because it was their vehicle that they've also got another issue, you know, that was involved.
Right. So there's nothing coming out of that for like 10 years.
Right.
They got a payout still.
And so, they've got workers' comp issues with their employees that were injured.
There were three or four fire personnel that had to go to the hospital.
That motorcycle hit that truck like a missile. Yeah. And there was guys that were seriously injured inside that fire truck. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a perfect answer. We could look at mitigating some of it, you know, 50. Because I even think people coming out, making that left turn, can be problematic.
I agree.
Yeah, but at least with, you know,
crossing the street,
you're making a right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Walking. You know, you have a better chance, but making that left.
You run.
I run.
Well, you're right. There is a potential if you make a right turn only that you limit the amount of exposure that they're having coming out of there.
Yeah.
With another exit one block over.
But the way the streets are configured, they're not like they're straight through. You've got to go around.
Yep. And to make that street a right turn only, I think it may actually have to be wider to put in the bollards a curb or something, a physical barrier that would prevent motors from making the left turn.
Right.
Because I've looked at that too, and I was like, it's just that street is so narrow to do that.
I don't think probably when it was built they anticipated Collins having the volume of traffic that it does.
Four speeds.
Nothing.
Four speeds, correct.
Yeah, but anytime you have a, you know, semicircle there, a quarter circle there, you know, that loop.
There is a safer way to walk across Collins than trying to cross it at that intersection. You can go down and under the road.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or go to the light, but that's
closer.
That's just so far away, you know, for someone to walk. Well, anyway, sorry, didn't mean to derail you on that. Appreciate
that's why we're here. You know, it's better to talk about it while it's fresh in there. To continue, we had we issued 61 traffic citations and 21 parking citations in the month of June. We responded to 457 calls for service. Of those, 86 were assigned. And 371 are observed. So, as continuing most of the work done by the deputies out here are, is, you know, proactive office type work. Yes. And happy to answer any questions.
No, I just wanted to say thank you to you and your deputies for capturing the, albeit armed with BB gun, I believe it was, subject on Valley at Loma a few weeks back. I personally, I heard the airship and I heard what was going on, and I sent text messages out to everybody, including Mr. Skeffington, oddly enough, and he advised me, oh yes, he's right in front of his house right now. But I think it was excellent work by the sheriff's deputy. I had some criticism from residents that I had to kind of say, well, did you know that the subject had a firearm? And then, because they were like, well, why are they doing this announcement over the loudspeaker?
Oh, yeah.
It's to keep people indoors. It's to keep people safe. It's to keep people out of the sheriff's deputy's hair so that they're not mistaken for the perpetrator, and so that the canine doesn't potentially mistake one person from another. So if there are any criticism, I am happy to sit down and personally discuss that with any resident. But great work. Thank you for keeping us safe.
Robert Frackleton was actually the suspect, ran through his yard, so they got it on camera film. Yes. So we shared it with the lieutenant. It's, you see the guy jumping the fence and running down the side of the house. It's, and I guess his son was home at the time and scared him to death. Mm-hmm. You know, so
anytime something happens here or even far away, but you can still see it, the next door app just goes crazy.
Yeah.
What's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, oh my God. And it's like, so there's always going to be those people.
Yep.
That the slightest thing goes on. I see somebody getting a ticket. What's going on over there?
Yeah, he was apprehended prior to bite, as I understood.
Yes,
it.
He was.
He was. He was just about to get bit, and he jumped back over a fence into the waiting arms of a couple of deputies.
Very smart.
Yes.
Very smart choice.
In a gentle and kind way.
Yes.
It's great because the county avoids that liability, too. Yeah.
Very, very true. So,
yeah.
He did go to jail. He was in on a stolen motorcycle when he decided to, I don't know.
What was he going to do?
What's that?
He was just looking to grab stuff up?
Or
did they know him?
They did not know him. I think he was probably a little under the influence and decided to take a nap on the lawn.
Yeah, that's what I heard, 11-5-50 on a stolen ride, and who knows doing what else.
That's good.
So, yeah, you don't belong here, go.
And to echo that, I mean, social media really has helped a lot to follow the great work that deputies do. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you give us the reports and everything, but when you see the gun or the dope and all the little things, I think it's great. Yeah. I really appreciate that.
The city, for a small city, is very engaged, and we get a lot of comments on social media, and a lot of people react to the things that we post on there. So, mm-hmm. So we were able to do, and I totally glossed over it, and I apologize. It was National Night Out, so had a pretty good turnout this year, I think, compared to
the
other mm-hmm. Years, and had a lot of assets out here, so
it was
enjoyable.
Very well done.
It'll be a presentation at council.
Mm-hmm. The Cizels are going to give a thing they want to give. The other thing too, the Women's League made sure that the deputies and personnel were well fed, and they had a whole room full of food in the back here of homemade cooked everything that was like pulled pork. It was incredible what they had. You had some of those guys coming back for two and three.
Yeah.
I may have took a couple handfuls of those lemon bars. I'm not sure exactly who was responsible for those, but those things were incredible.
Nothing with Neighborhood Watch, huh?
No, Wayne's not here. That just the event that the security fair was pretty well attended. The sheriff did a wonderful job of having a full show of force. Out here we had everything, every kind of dog, every kind of vehicle, short of the helicopter, which we sort of couldn't do for insurance purposes, but otherwise everything was pretty impressive what they had out here. It was a pretty...
pretty nice.
Yeah, impressive showing.
Anita did a phenomenal job this year. And
she always does.
She does, and unfortunately she was actually not able to be here. She had some health concerns or a little health issue that kept her... out for the week, but we were able to get a few people or a couple people to step up and pick up the slack, and it went off very well. So
yeah, it did.
They did a great job.
PSRs?
Except for National Night Out, I think there were a few of us here.
Mm-hmm.
It's been rather quiet, and to the best of my knowledge, I've been using the car
Yeah, I saw him the other day.
That's good.
In the middle of the day.
Just kind of a note, and it's kind of related and kind of not, because the reserves and whatnot. Mike Lee is being reassigned from Villa Park High School over to Orange High School. So we're going to lose Mike. He's still going to be reserved doing all the events here for Villa Park, but we'll lose him as a sort of a day-to-day guy to do. And they're bringing someone, a lady from Garden Grove, as I understand it, who has been some kind of classroom teacher. So it'll be a different experience. But Mike will be here for the reserve events, the boat parade, Halloween fest, and those kinds of things.
He's just still the one we report to for PSL.
He's still the guy.
He needed to make the move.
He's going to be the special ed teacher over there. Okay. So from a resume purposes, to get into his, to move into administration, you need to have diversified, mm-hmm. as opposed to just doing discipline all his whole career.
Right.
It's a good move for him.
I think it's a good move for his future.
So
good.
Bad
not
for my
kids.
Not for us.
It's definitely not a good move for my kids. That's for sure. I was hoping he was going to stay there.
Well, yeah, he's really excited about it just because he gets to go over and he's in the classroom.
He's a great guy, he's gonna do great work. He needs to do that
to get
wherever
sort of
he's at.
Move up the food chain.
So that's it with PSRs. Emergency preparedness.
Nothing yet. Just got a new division chief. He's working on some serious brush abatement issues. And I haven't had a chance to sit down and chat with him, but I envision sometime this week that I'll be having a chat. Growth here is a family vacation going on, so I had a few irons in the fire, but I'll be chatting with him this week, and we'll get to it next meeting.
All right.
As being the only member of CERT in the city of Villa Park, is there anything we can do to help you do that class?
No, it's all... just OCFA and OCSD. OCFA will take lead on it. OCSD will, work hand in hand. They've got the evacuation plan and some other common sense things. Just attend. Encourage your neighbors to attend. When we get the dates dialed in, I think we're going to look for some good dates for them. And then once we get some good dates from them, then we'll put it out through the feeder and every other medium possible. Make sure it's good for the sheriff's department, of course, and just encourage your neighbors to attend. I think it was pretty darn successful last time, and we can get a few more folks involved, then we're all just going to benefit from that. I know myself, I started tearing through, hence the vacation, our 72-hour box that I have in a couple different parts of the house. I would encourage everybody to do that. We've had a couple of major earthquakes lately, kind of big wake. Yeah, thankfully. Well, still, I felt it here, but big wake-up call for everybody. Mm-hmm. But that's it. Just encourage your neighbors to attend. But thank you, though.
I don't know if everybody's aware of this. I am a certified CERT trainer.
Awesome.
So anything I can do to help.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Anyone? Got anything?
I just have one thing, if I can start. I want to thank everybody for being here and coming out of their way, especially Lieutenant and Steve, but also the volunteer residents. Coming up on school, let's take a few minutes out of our day, maybe on the way home today, drive around the schools, drive around all four of them, see if there's anything that you can notice that is maybe needs to be touched up, whether it's signage, roadway markings, maybe something along the roadway engineering side of the equation that long-term we would work through ACRM, our city engineer, to correct, or the school district. And then when you get towards your own neighborhoods, let's look at roadway markings, roadway signs, parking, just small issues. I think nuts and bolts, the Sheriff's Department is just knocking it out of the park right now. But we can be that force multiplier for them by maybe being that nitpicky pain in the backside. You know what, if they're going to be out there sighting on XYZ corner, let's make sure that stop on the street is painted nicely. But ACRM, our city engineer, is part-time. Steve has way too much on his plate, and we need to be able to be that nitpicky set of eyes and forward him an email saying, hey, maybe we could get this restriped or this repainted or some reflectors here. Just those little things are so huge from a traffic safety perspective. And since we're coming up on school, I think that would be an important thing.
That's one of the things, too, I want to point out. The mayor got an email, was concerned about the, I want to say, westbound, the south side of Taft having red by the construction. They're saying you need to put that green so there's enough room to drop off. That's specifically painted red because the construction, if people are parked there, you can't pull out of the driveway, you're going to have an accident.
Yeah.
So the construction, and that's an issue that will change, it'll be remedied, it'll become green when the construction's done. But since they have those fences, they're pretty far out in the street.
Right.
So if cars are parked along there, it would be very difficult for a car to be coming and going, and you could be, all of a sudden you'd see a car pulling out of that driveway. So when you, some of the things we have answers for, and they're specifically for reasons, as you drive it every morning, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That there are some things that we're doing that, you know, are temporary measures, long-term. We're looking at Nichols. We didn't want to move forward on Nichols because of the construction. Yeah. The construction becomes a problem as far as drop-off and whatever. So if we shut it now, we're going to create more problems. So
are they talking about shutting Nichols down or just parking on half?
Parking on half side of it, on one side only.
Parking on half is like, that thing just has to happen.
But it will, but it, one of the things is construction, during the construction, we really don't know what the flow is going to be because you've lost.
Kind of want to have some flexibility until we kind of.
Yeah. Well, the problem with Nichols is only one thing. It's just students parking there. So no one can see crap. Mm. And kids are just darting back and forth.
Well, and the other thing is, too, is the kids park there. We've heard.
Right.
To avoid
dogs.
Right.
That might otherwise pick up smells and scents.
But is that actually legit of them, or is it just something they've thrown out?
I mean, I've heard that from Brian. So
it's not like dogs are running around the cars in the parking lot.
No, right? It is their dogs.
It is, but they do run it. They do run the dogs in the parking lot.
Yes.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
You do.
So, but they can't go out. They're not going off campus.
Right.
So.
Right.
But if that's an issue, we can.
Right.
Right.
We think that's something that they're, you know.
Because it wasn't full both sides, yeah, for sure, until all of a sudden it just.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, but the only issue that we're going to have trying to enforce, you know, a dog sniff off of campus is pretty, you know, unless we know that the kids are under 18, that that vehicle belongs to. Unfortunately, in the state of California now, it's pretty much legal.
Yeah. But that street was a disaster.
It's not even pretty much. Excuse me. It is legal.
Yeah.
Well, I would be nice at 18, 21, but yeah. Believe me, I was working the fair and the concerts, and people come up to me going, hey, there's smoking weed. They go, outside of the no smoking, welcome to California.
Right.
This is at a reggae concert, by the way.
I was at Zac Brown. There, people just get loaded. Yeah. Great concert, by the way.
Comment that I have, especially with school starting very quickly, the intersection of Center and Gull Park Road, and the parents, especially the new parents, will come around that corner and stop. And they're in line to go through the drop-off point, and sometimes it stretches half a block west.
You know what, that was dealt with a couple of years ago. They put signs up, they have cars hanging on the right side of the road, they only allow quick drop-off and blow. I mean, they've done everything they can to try to address that, but because everybody's, you know, in their car dropping off their kid instead of walking them, I mean, it's about as good as we can get, given it wasn't designed for vehicular traffic.
Well, that corner specifically.
You're right. It's
I just
it's
renewed
terrible.
My driver's license. I just read through the book, and the visibility requirements are not available because of those walls.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we put a dummy car out there, black and white, that we weren't for a while. Remember that? We had it out there. It doesn't stop completely. It's, you know, it's not designed for, you know, they park on red curbs on that, right in front of VPE. Yeah.
But you know, they're, you know, the parking is one thing that busted out.
Well, but when they park, that creates a hard time for dropping off.
And this is a matter of blocking the intersection. Somebody wants to make a right turn and go through on Center. They can't do it.
There's without a massive restructuring of that area at a tremendous cost, there's not much you're going to be able to do.
Ever.
But Beth, the only thing I think we can do, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is a forum for us to express opinions and think outside the box and help these guys out, is my opinion, because of the issues that you're precisely on point with, it's just, there's not much we can do, is have a deputy roll over there, not necessarily be heavy-handed and cite every mom that comes along, but a visible presence for a little period of time to get the hint, and don't park in the red. I know that is not necessarily something that people want to hear, but the reality is, if we're trying to avoid backing up traffic onto Villa Park Road to avoid that 45 or 50 mile per hour rear end impact with kids in the car, that's the only way we can do it, is to encourage them. Unfortunately, that's going to lead to greater traffic within the other parts of
but
Villa
they're
Park
all parked,
and on the residents.
They're all parked in the car motor running. You can't give them anything for that.
No, but if they're impeding traffic, if they're a traffic
on
hazard,
Villa Park Road,
on Villa Park Road, they can be asked to move along.
Yeah.
You know,
we get the same issue actually on Serrano.
Right.
Yep.
In front of Serrano Elementary.
Same thing.
Because they drop off their kids at the junior high and do the U. And
from but my opinion is, just from a traffic safety perspective, I'll take that 25 mile per hour impact versus the 45 or 50.
Sure.
I know one's survivable. I know the other one's not. And I don't mean to be in a triage mentality when it comes down to enforcement and traffic safety, but that's the reality. You know, can't have deputies too many places at one time. And, you know, I think certainly encouraging our school resource officer, I'm sure he already does it anyways, just to remind the school that send the word out to the parents, please do what you can, carpool, please don't back up on Gull Park Road for your own safety, for your kids' safety, for all of our safety, and just because it's against the law. That's the only thing I can think of.
I would encourage them to walk.
And walking is great, too. I
used to walk my kids every day because there's no way I was going to drive in that traffic. No. I could get there and get home before some of the cars made it up to the drop-off. Yeah.
The problem is they're being commuted from different areas.
Right.
Well, that's
a whole
coming in from Orange.
It's a problem.
Whole nother
if they
fall.
Were all neighborhood schools. Yeah.
You know, the only thing that could really work, and I don't know who would do this, but it was like what was done for the fair. They had like a gathering point where the parents would, you know, away from the venue, where people would drop off the passengers and they would get in like a shuttle and the shuttle would take them in.
We talked to that with the school district and they're concerned about liability.
Right.
They don't want to touch it.
I was just going to say,
they don't want to touch it. So the gathering point would be where is the gathering point, and then the shuttle is their liability. And they're like, I don't want to do that. So they're shying away from that.
And they can't do a school bus?
Yeah.
I mean, they have a whole fleet of buses.
I can't speak for the district. All I know is what the district's told us.
Enforcement is the only thing that's going to change behavior, at least temporarily, and especially at the beginning of school years, and then it'll taper off. But enforcement.
Yeah. With some education and try to educate them
right.
a little bit and get
right.
the word out to
right.
the parents
yeah.
as much as possible. You know as well as I do, enforcement around the schools, when you start putting a black and white in there, especially early in the morning, parents want to do what they want to do, and they're going to get their kids, and sometimes that's more of initially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that causes more heartache than it solves, just because people start really slowing stuff down and they're indecision and they're afraid to do certain things, and they're just, and sometimes creates more of an issue.
More of a problem.
But it just, and once the word gets out and they're a little more educated about what's going on, I think it helps. But
and then of
it's
course,
not
the
an immediate.
Slippery slope will be the mayor is going to get complaints from people parking on their lawns, breaking their sprinklers, and that's the downside to it. But I prefer to get that complaint.
I appreciate that, and you're right on point. But I'll take those complaints all day long versus that rear end impact.
And we had some heavy enforcement off of Serrano last year in the afternoon when it became an issue with a lot of people making the U-turns in the middle of the road and stuff like that. And once we did that for a few days, it seemed to help a little bit. I'm sure it's going to be this year is going to be the same thing. Everyone's going to do it until they see if we're enforcing it or not. But we will address that also.
And I'll try to stop by the schools between now and then and have a little chat. Just from my side of the equation, I have a phone call to Dr. Hansen here about a number of things going on and what's not going on the big oval next door, and find out where we're at with that. So
I give you kind of an update.
There was a problem.
Are we good here? Because I don't want to.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, yeah. We're done.
Any other further comments, Jim?
No.